2018 year on the topic of joy. Joy. Now, some of you may walk in here and you're like, I totally have no joy. Some of you may feel really joyful. And I know school's starting on Tuesday. You still have a day off. You still have a day off, guys, except for the teachers, right, Melina, right, Brian, yeah, teachers planning, right? But, we you know, it's some people have joy, some people don't. And I want to encourage us this year, in the year 2018, as we focus on our theme of prayer, to cultivate what we call the spiritual fruit that we all should exhibit of joy. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, we're just all giddy and like we're on cloud nine all the time and we're just, you know, just jumping up and down and, you know, we're all spunky, and that's not actually biblical joy. But you know, biblical joy is something that I think we all need to find out. What is it? How can I have joy at all times? Because what we're going to see is God makes it clear through his scripture is that we are always, all the time, supposed to have joy. And I know that kind of hits me across the face, like, wow, really? But just looking at the New Testament, looking at this topic, we're always supposed to have joy. But we have to have the right definition of joy, right? What is joy? Joy of the Lord. How can I be joyful, joyful every single day of the year? And it's not something that comes and goes. This is a biblical joy. Now, let's look at dictionary.com, the trusty source of every word, right? Now we have our cell phones, all right? Here's some different definitions that dictionary.com showed of joy. How do we have joy? You know, again, guys, let's be real. The church is supposed to be known as a place of joy, right? We're Christians. We're supposed to be known to be joyful people, of all people. Even outsiders are like, aren't you Christians supposed to be joyful and all that, right? So this is something that is important to look at. Now, dictionary.com says it's the emotion. It says it's an emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure. I love all these different words. Keen pleasure. That's elation. Interesting words, right? I don't think that's a bad definition. I think that's pretty good. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying, keen pleasure, elation. I think that a lot of that is spot on, even biblically. All right, number two. All right, thank you. A source or cause of keen pleasure, delight, something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. You know, Leo just brings me joy. Just, you know, his collar and his, you know. Wish I don't have the same collar as him and tie and sweat. Just joy, joyful guy, all right? He brings me joy, all right? Number three, the expression or display of glad feeling. Festive, now, this is an old word. We don't use this, gaiety, right? The old word for gay meant happy. We don't use that way anymore, right? But expression or display of glad feeling, you know, so you're at a party or it's Christmas time, you know, festive gaiety, right? Last one, number four, a state of happiness or felicity. I don't ever use that word. Happiness. Now, happiness, okay. So I think everybody in the world would agree on those definitions. Okay, happiness, felicity. Now, what do we mean by biblical happiness? Now, there's one commentator points this out. In Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts his famous sermon kind of unraveling his ministry to the people on earth. And he starts with all these little blessed saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, some translations translate that word blessed as happy. You ever seen that? Happy. Okay? Some translations do that. It could be happy. It's not only the idea of happiness, but also biblically. This is what Jesus is saying to us, and this is where we need to start. What is biblical joy? Not only happiness, but also profound peace, comfort, stability. Peace, comfort, stability. And that's what Jesus brings to all those who belong to him and his family. Another commentator goes on to say, based on the biblical teaching, I would go so far as to say that it is the Christian's duty, if you call yourself a Christ follower, it is the Christian's duty, his moral obligation to be joyful. That means that the failure of a Christian, the failure of a Christian to be joyful is a sin. Now, some of you may be like, I don't know if I agree with that. But we have to look at the biblical definition. The failure of a Christian to be joyful is a sin. That unhappiness and a lack of joy are, in a certain way, manifestations of the flesh. And I agree with that. You look biblically. Now, some of you may say, didn't Jesus just say, blessed are those who mourn? Yes, and there's a time for grief, and as Ed just prayed, we'll have challenges and tough times in 2018. We all will. But in the midst of that, we can still have biblical joy. We still have biblical joy. And to choose to have biblical joy is a sin, and I absolutely agree. We'll take a look. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Famous verse on joy. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul's saying to the Philippians. And again, he says, again, I will say, rejoice. A lot of us know this verse, right? A lot of us know this word. Rejoice in the Lord. That's the key. Rejoice not in me, not in the fact that I got a new car. Oh, that's pretty. I'll be rejoicing. Or I'm really sad because something bad happened, but all the time I'm rejoicing in the Lord. That's the key phrase. I say again, rejoice. Now, here's my biblical attempt at a biblical definition of joy. First, I just say happiness in Christ. In Christ, that's the difference. It's not happiness in, I got an A on my chemistry exam. That can cause me happiness, but that's not biblical happiness. Biblical happiness is everything Jesus did for me. Happiness in Christ. Everything is right eternally, and my soul is at peace. I'm full of his love, and my soul is at rest. I have an uplifted soul. And this is something, too, I think sometimes a good way to define a word is to show what it's not, or show the negative side of it. What is usually a lack of joy? Hey, anybody shout it out. You can talk back to me. What would you say if you don't have joy? A lot of times we replace it with what? It's genius. The opposite. Well, what is the opposite, William? Who is it? Worry. Yes, booyah. Yes, very good. Worry, which really, you know what really, worry really is underneath all that? I'm fearful. Fear. Really, I think fear is the antithesis of joy, is fear. So if we're consumed with fear, it's very hard to have the joy of the Lord. And I think that's very biblical. Joy cannot be stolen by anybody. So if I wreck my new car, my joy in the Lord still remains. Also, I would say it's an exhilarating desire for God. I want to be with him. And the Bible all the time says, rejoice in the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 95, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That's what we just read. That's what we just sang. Let's make a joyful noise. That's what we did this morning. I love singing to God. He's done everything for me. He saved me from hell. He's given me new life here and forever. Psalm 96, verse 12. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. All creation sings for joy. The trees sing for joy and the flowers. And I think I was just reading my kids, some of you may know, it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. I don't know if Kathy probably knows it. It's a really good kids' Bible. And it was going through when Jesus talks to the crowds about, look at the lilies of the field. Right? The flowers of the field. Are any kings dressed like these? And it's really cool how this little children's Bible puts it. It's a very unique way. But it's true, you know, these beautiful, the nature itself praises. You can almost hear it. Shout out to God. They're enraptured with him. He created them. He designed them. They're beautiful. What any of us are made like a, you know, any kind of beautiful lily, flower. It's amazing. Joy. Joy is knowing God. And knowing that he loves you and is all the time working his best for you. Christian joy, here's the key, and I said this before, but Christian joy is not dependent on our outside circumstances or how we feel necessarily. It's the one outside circumstance it's dependent on is Jesus Christ, the person outside of ourselves. It's dependent upon him. Dependent on him. Look at Psalm chapter 84. Psalm 84. This is our verse that Ed just read. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, I faint. It's like I need a Big Mac, but I'm fainting. I'm fainting for the court of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Do we say this in our daily lives? Are we like, man, life is tough right now, or maybe I'm having a good day. It doesn't matter. I just want to be with God, gazing on him through his word, through prayer, through the fellowship of all of us. I just want to be in his presence. I desire to be in his presence. Do we have that desire? Do we have a desire daily? Actually, this is a daily thing we all need to cultivate. And it's all hard. I know this. It's always sometimes a challenge to do that. Some days are easier than others to feel like I have that desire. But we need to pray for that desire. God, you've done everything for me. You've saved me. Psalm 42, verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. So pants my soul for you. So deer is running, right? Running through. Let's think of something really weird. I'm sure, I don't know if the Bible writers were thinking of this, but hunters were after them, right? They're like, get out of here, you know? Deer are pretty stupid. They probably don't have any idea hunters are on them, but they're running. They're running through the forest, and they're panting for water. They finally find water. Where's water? I'm dying of thirst. I've been running all day. That's having joy in the Lord. I so want to be in God's presence. I want to hunger for him. And so this year, just practically, individually, you guys need to be in the Bible every day. You need to be soaking the word in and saying, Lord, what are you teaching me? How do I get to know you? And praising him every day for dying for your sins, raising you to new life. Every day, focusing on him. He feeds us, and his Holy Spirit is helping us grow. Dwell on God. You know, some of you guys can take this, and this is for JCYF too, right? If you don't get a lot of the Bible right now, you're like, I don't understand it. No, get like a journal. Start writing down your observations of Scripture. What's going on here? What is this teaching me about God? Write down the attributes of God. You know, God seems really merciful here. What a great God. He seems very gracious. This is what he's done for me. Focus on him. The joy of the Lord. Again, you know, this is not a giddy, I have to be in euphoria all the time, you know. I just stubbed my toe really hard. Oh, God is awesome. Like, I just broke my toe and I'm rejoicing and nothing's wrong. Ah, you know, and joyful. No, people would think you're weird, right? So there's bad things that happen. And God says there's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. People die. People have cancer. There's war. There's a time for all of that. But in a sense, I have a joy that God has won. God has won. I hope this helps because, you know, we can think, you know, I'm supposed to be happy, happy, happy all the time. And that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus wasn't happy, happy all the time, but he had the joy of the Lord. Even on the cross, he had the joy of his Father. You know, he was suffering the sin of the world, the separation. His Father had to rain down his wrath on him because he took our sin upon him on the cross. And Jesus was hanging there. And he was so broken at the same time. He's doing it for Leo and Ed. He's thinking of us. I'm dying for their sin so that they can be forgiven of their evil, that I can bring them into my family forever. He has a joy at the same time. He's suffering more than anybody has. He also has the joy of the Lord, his Father. And that's what Jesus has done. Now, some of you are like, man, sometimes it's really hard to have the joy. Some of us have gone through stages of depression, and you feel like, man, it's so hard to have joy. Even in those times, it may feel mechanical. You have to say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you died for me. There's an end. There's hope in sight because you're making me like Jesus. You have a plan. You're working all things for good, and you'll bring me home. And that's also what the church is for. So as the church, we need to encourage one another. We need to say, hey, how you doing? If you guys are struggling with, man, my life stinks. I can't go on. And sometimes we're like that, right? I mean, I'm like that. I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm just like, man, I just want to stop. Just quit. Stop. Check out right now. And we're like that. But talk to someone. Come talk to me. If you're feeling like that, come talk to me. Come talk to godly people. We want to walk together, enjoy together. It's not an isolated thing. We encourage one another to have joy. Don't be alone in your joy process. Go look at Galatians 2:22. Here is the famous fruit of the Spirit, all right? Galatians 2:22. Christy, if you can throw that up there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, if you are a Christ follower, this is not like, this is not something that you're just supposed to show when I feel like it. This is something that we're supposed to show all the time. And you know what? You guys just have to remember this. Whatever God's commanded us to do, he will give us the energy and the help to do it. It'd be weird if he didn't. Hey, do this, but I'm not going to help you. God is always going to strengthen us if we rely on him in the midst of even tough times to be full of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Joy is one of those. They're right there. We're supposed to have joy all the time. All the time. I have a joy in the Lord. We're supposed to have joy all the time. And I agree with that commentator that said, really, if we have a pervasive sense of unhappiness all the time, and a pervasive sense of, you know, fear and just life stinks all the time, that's sin. That is sin because you're not trusting in the goodness of God. You're actually making a mockery of what Jesus did for us. Again, you may feel sad and grieve at moments, and it's appropriate to do that. But at the core, there's still a restful soul that loves God and waits on him. That's the good news. What are we to rejoice over? Here's four things. If you can write these down, four things. What are we to rejoice over? And there's four things, just looking at Scripture, I think just help categorize four things that we need to rejoice and have joy over. Number one, the gospel. The fact that we were separated from a holy God. God is pure and perfect. We are all rebels. We all shook our fist at him. We all hate him on our own. We're all sinners. And the fact that Jesus still came down and put himself to death for sinners, for rebels, for people who hated him. Remember Aisha, we talked about this Friday? God became man to put himself to death for people who hated him. I mean, what kind of God does that? It's amazing. What kind of God does that? God does that for us. And we need to rejoice, man, that God actually says, I'm going to take your sins upon myself and sacrifice myself on the cross, so that your sins would be forgiven, because Jesus was the payment for my sins. God is perfect. He can't take any evil, and we're all evil in his presence. But Jesus Christ bore our sin, our evil. The fact that we're messed up inside, he took that upon himself and died for Wayne, and for Carmen, because he loves us and he wanted us to be in his family. There's no other God that does that, that lays down his life for people who don't even want him. And we don't have to do a thing to earn it. He earned it for us. And all he says is, receive it, and you'll be saved. Receive the fact that I've taken your sins away, forgiven your sins, past, present, future. There's no more guilt on you. And we know that's guaranteed because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He conquered death, and he gives us a new life now. He gives us the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, where we can choose joy now. We can choose to walk in the Lord. We can choose to follow him and love him. And we will not perish in hell. We'll be with him forever. Number two. Second thing we need to rejoice over. Non-believers, those who have not become Christians yet. Non-believers coming to know Christ as Savior. As Savior. Non-believers coming to know Christ as... Here's the thing, guys. Do we rejoice? Do we rejoice over people coming to Christ? When you come here on Sunday morning, I guarantee you there are people who do not know Jesus, who do not want him in their life, sitting in here right now. And we need to pray earnestly, God, there's sheep out there who are not in your flock yet. Save them. I want to see them saved from their sins. Do you pray for that when you come in this room? And that should give us joy. What else would give you joy? Either an eternity in hell, or eternity in heaven. There's two options. Jesus Christ came to take our sins, and we pray that people would give their lives to him to be forgiven. Non-believers. Look at Luke 15:10. Look at Luke 15:10 on the screen. Jesus says this to his followers, just so I tell you, there is what? Joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Over one sinner repents. If I just had one person in here who was not a believer in Jesus, you all left, and they came to Christ, man, I would see that's a successful sermon. Even though there's nobody in here, one person came to Christ. Praise God. There's a party in heaven. God, we need to have joy what God has joy over. One sinner comes to faith. So number one, our salvation, the gospel itself. Number two, others coming to know Christ. And that's what we need to be all about. Get our heads out of the sand and focus on others. That's why I love doing baptisms, because you know that's not the time people come to faith. It's the public proclamation of their faith. But it gives me such joy because people are identifying with Christ before the public church, and they're saying, I love Jesus. I mean, that is awesome. That is, I love doing baptisms. And I don't know if it's real or not because people can fake it. I don't know their heart. God does. But when I see that, that is awesome. That is awesome. We need to have joy over that. Number three, what's the third thing that we need to have rejoice over as a church? The maturity of the church, that all of you guys are growing in the Lord. We got to take joy in that. And we need to fight for that joy. Look at 1 Thessalonians, our last book we looked at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Well, this is what Paul says about the church. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Is it not you? Paul was so concerned about the salvation of the church and that they love and know Jesus. He said, my joy in life is seeing you come to faith in Christ. Do we have that joy? Are we too caught up in our own lives, our own busyness? We don't care about the maturity of the church, about people going to hell. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 1:24. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith, Paul says, but we work with you for your what? Your joy. For you, stand firm in your faith, for you to stand firm. That should be my joy as a pastor. It should be all your joy for each other, that you guys stand firm in the faith, that you grow, that you're growing into a knowledge of Christ and you're making him known more. That's number three. Lastly, and this is kind of a different angle, number four, it's related to number three, we need to tell others in the church to have joy. Sometimes I think that sometimes it's, there's people come to me and maybe they're having a hard time. And so you identify with them, you want to suffer with them because we all have problems. But eventually we want to lead them. You say, you got to get back to Jesus. You got to have the joy of the Lord. If you continually walk like this in self-pity, and, oh, woe is me, woe is my life, da, 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 da. If you continually walk in this, you're exhibiting the flesh. You need to get back to the joy of the Lord. And it's a process. I'm not saying it's overnight, but God wants us to have joy. And we encourage each other to have joy. People are walking around all the time, mad at everything. We need to say, hey, joy of the Lord, joy of the Lord. And again, it's not giddiness, but it's a love for God, love for others. Absence of joy. Now, the absence of joy, again, we talked about this. It's usually worry, anxiety, and I felt that, focusing on circumstances and letting them have their impact on you. And now here's something, too. Here's another way to look at it. You may think you have joy, but it's not joy at all. It could be the opposite. It could be just a feeling of euphoria, you know. I just went on a date, you know. You're just happy inside. You know, I just saw, you know, The Last Jedi, I'm Cloud Nine, you Star Wars nerds. You're having a good day, right? That doesn't mean you're happy, joyful in the Lord. It just means, you know, you're happy, emotionally happy. I had a Kit Kat bar. The Shekinah glory, you know. Little Debbie's, right? It doesn't mean you're joy in the Lord. Our joy is in Christ. R.C. Sproul, who just passed away, R.C. Sproul said this. It is anxiety that robs us of our joy. And what is anxiety but fear? Fear is the enemy of joy. It is hard to be joyful when we are afraid. When we are afraid. And of course, hopefully we all identify with this. If I'm just focusing on, man, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? Oh my gosh, oh! And you look at your circumstances, you take your eyes off God, yeah, your joy is going to be killed. And there's always things God's going to use in our lives to challenge us. He'll bring people into our lives to make us say, whoa, I got to trust in God here. Because if you start focusing on the circumstances, you're going to freak out. But then we say, no, I have the joy of the Lord. No matter what happens, I have the joy of the Lord. It's okay. God's in control of everything. And of course, God gives us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help us walk in Him, in Him. Deacon Tony's been going through James, the book of James. This is where, again, it gets very hard to have joy, is in persecution, tough times. And I'm just going to read this famous verse again, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all what? Joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. He's not saying you're ever going to be perfect in this life. What he's saying is, man, you're going to grow in the Lord, and you're going to have that focus, that persistence, that when those trials come and you keep your faith in God, you're going to grow. And you're going to be like Jesus, and you're going to withstand the challenges that come. The problem is, a lot of times we don't pass those challenges. Either we get really angry or we run away from the problem. And God's going to work on us. Count it all joy when there's trials. Count it all joy. It's not, again, you know, you're driving down the road and, you know, we talked about Friday, right? You spin off the road because it's icy. Like, oh, joy, you know, it's a trial, you know, I just flipped my car over. Yes. You know, that's not what God wants. This is, man, we can say this is terrible. This is not a good thing to happen. This is a bad thing. My tire just blew out. I'm late for work. But, God, you have a reason for this. You're good. You work all things for good. You promised that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God works all things for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. And I will trust you in this situation. There's a reason for it. One commentator shares this story, a lady who had cancer. A lady who had cancer, and he went to visit her. And I think he said that, you know, usually she was very joyful and handling it very well. But then she just kind of cried a little bit and said, you know, it's hard to be a Christian when your head is in the toilet all the time. Meaning she probably is taking chemotherapy. She's puking a lot. Yeah, it's hard to be a Christian when you're staring at your toilet all day, right? Like, what's going on, God? What's going on? But they said, after that, they laughed because it was kind of funny. But they said, look, God has a plan. God has a plan, even in the cancer, to use you for his glory, maybe bring people to you. Eventually, you'll be healed of all of it. And so we keep our eyes on the future hope, the future hope. And that's one of the biggest things that we got to keep our eyes on is the future. Jesus is coming back, and he will wipe away every tear, every cancer cell. He will make us whole again. Everything wrong with this world, he will make okay. The future joy. So keep your eyes on the future. One day it'll be over. One day it'll be over. One commentator said this, and here's what we need to ask ourselves during these times. I say, Scott, do you really trust God? I say, I believe in God. I knew there'd be suffering. Jesus promised suffering. Do you really trust God? Do you believe him when he promises you that it is for your good and for your ultimate joy, this situation? Do I really believe that? Do I take God at his word? Do I take God at his word? Or do I show my lack of unbelief? Every situation, only if we believe God can we maintain joy in the midst of hardship. Only God can do that because he's the one who only will bring eternal hope. You know, my goodness, I mean, suicide rates are so high in our country and people don't have hope. We have a living hope. We know Jesus wins and he's going to use all this for his good and we can't see it right now. We don't understand all of it, but God promises he will work all things for good. He's going to bring people to him. We got to trust him in his word. You know, we're spoiled. You know, some of you guys, I know I was like this too. I got like a D on my Algebra 2 exam. I was like, where's God? You know? But you have to remember, like, and there's people who are like, I almost fell off the stage. That would have been a trial. I'm going to back up and have joy. All right. Oh, that was interesting. All right. Anyway, let's have joy. As I move behind my thing, I'm scared now. I've never done that before. Joy, joy. All right, anyway, where was I? Grades, yes. College algebra, right? All right, algebra 2. So you get a bad grade, and you're like, oh, but think about this. Think about, man, there are Christians in the Middle East, Christians in China. They're not even going to school. They're dodging bombs and mines and grenades. They don't have a chance for that. I mean, sometimes we have to put things in perspective. Again, everybody has their own problems to deal with. But we've got to realize, man, God, things could be a lot worse. I don't know why you've blessed me. But even those people who are overseas and they love God despite war-torn countries, man, they know one day it'll all be done. Somebody pointed out, you know, back when slavery was in the U.S., slavery was common. The Negro spiritual songs are called the Negro spirituals. They focused a lot on the new heavens and earth. Why? Because their life was terrible. They were slaves. They were beaten. They didn't have any rights. The families were torn apart. Sell your mom as a slave. You'd never see your mom again. And those songs were very focused on one day Jesus is coming back. Otherwise, you'd be hopeless. They had the joy of the Lord in the midst of their circumstances. That's pretty cool. Look at Hebrews 10:34. For you had compassion on those in prison. The author is talking to the church. And you joyfully accepted, look at that word, joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Wow. And we can't even identify with this. Like, yeah, like our houses are gone because we have a heavenly home and we know where we're going. How many of us would say this, honestly? Or we'd like freak out. You just stole my house. You stole my Nintendo Switch. You know? These people were getting persecuted. And they joyfully accepted the plundering of their lives. Because they said, we count it worthy to suffer for Christ. Christ suffered for us, and we're going to suffer for him. So they had joy in the midst of everything being taken away from them. Can we say that today? If our health is taken away, if our spouses are taken away, if things are taken away from us, Jesus has a plan. And he's always working good all the time. He will never stop working for my good. He's in control of everything. This suffering's for my good. And he's going to bring me home. And we need to have that joy of the Lord. There's one acronym I saw, J-O-Y. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. That's where it's got to start. Just remember that. Joy, right? It's got to be Jesus first. He brings me joy. I got to focus on others, their joy. Finally, myself. If I get it backwards, you know, I'm going to be a very selfish person. I will not have joy. You know? I will not have joy. I won't have joy. Jesus, what he did for me, getting him out to others, yourself. Thank the Lord that he's forgiven my sins. I'm a new person. Whether I do good or bad on my test, whether I lose my job or still have my job, God's in control. God still loves us at every moment, every age. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God,